It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go on the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
Watch this.
They gon' wanna hit the horns.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the World According to Drew. Andrew, we're live in Studio A this morning, August 14, 2022. What a beautiful day. And, boy, it's going to be crunch, and we're going to get some support. How do you say, get a little help from some friends this morning as we embark on some big things a little bit later this morning. As always, read your African-American newspapers, no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news and resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. No excuse for the news. You got it all right here with My Eye Messenger, which is an online publication, Texas Metro News, as well as the Garland Journal. We got it. We got it. We got it. There's so much going on out there, so little time to talk about it, but we're going to bring in the Prime Minister of Oak Cliff, and he's going to have to, before he knock out, he's going to have to be carrying some big shoes this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm totally shocked, man. Happy to see another day. How are you?
Yeah. Oh man, outstanding. Adrenaline pumping. Just trying to get rolling. Getting some things going. Oh man, but I appreciate you as always. We got another person aspiring like yourself. Hopefully they'll press one, and you all carry this thing on like just like talking at the house. Now don't talk. Don't. Don't talk like you really at the house. Talk like you're at the business place. I have to let you know.
It would be nice if I knew who you're talking about, but I'm sure you're going to drop that for me, too.
Yeah, as well. They're going to just come in and talk a little bit, throw some things out there this morning. Mm-hmm. I tell you, if I was to take something from a big old house that happened to be painted white, I want to make sure I'm clear before I get it. Now, how will I look working for the U.S. government, as some would say, and on the day you leave, you're taking boxes of records? Now, you know, had it been Jedediah.
No. But what about the way they did Hillary and all them others for just using stuff at home? You ain't got to go way back to Jedediah.
But the fact is that
they didn't want them using private servers and stuff.
Well, you know, I always feel you got to, okay, for one, you got them. You could have gotten them cleared. Secondly, you start shredding when you get there. It sounds like you're trying to cover up something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I wrong?
Well, this stuff here, man, so many different levels, Andrew. They already talking about the clearance levels. It's that alone. Just now, this isn't factual. This is Harold talking. But that alone tells me that there's been a mishap in the handling of them for something that was top secret to be treated the way you just described. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, anything
when
top secret, they supposed to be able to pour bleach in your food, pull your eyebrows back, put the, like in Rambo, put the electric charge to you, and what you supposed to say? No.
Either confirm or deny.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to back them fake the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? But this whole story is reminding me of a circle. This thing just keeps going round and round. You know, I think Mary was right. You know, we thought Mary was crazy. But Mary was right about the uncle. When America, when are we going to wake up and understand that Mary knew him before we knew him?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Denise.
Yes, sir. But they say she was.
But how did he classify her? She's just crazy or something, he said. I remember when that first came out. He said, oh, she's just crazy or something. Yeah, okay.
Well, you know, what is the definition of crazy? Abnormal? Let Beyonce say crazy in love. In love. Beyond. Look, beyond 2022 love. Crazy in love. So, crazy could be something. Let me just give you the good old definition of what crazy is.
Well, it's abstract to me, so it really don't matter what the definition is, but it's looking like he the only one that thought we was crazy or something for believing
the
stuff that he's trying to pull off.
Good old Google gave me a good definition here. Mentally deranged, especially as manifested in a wild or aggressive way. And I quote, Stella went crazy and assaulted a visitor. You know, you had to always put it in a sentence first. You know, that's what Miss Rogers told me. Be able to put it in a sentence. Now, I went with Stella because I can't really call names like I want to. But if you want to, I ain't mad at you.
No, I ain't doing that.
But mentally deranged. Are we dealing with that in America? That you want a job that bad. I mean, I want you to have some passion about your job, but that you would go to all ends to maintain it or get it and don't care who you step on or even if you don't step on who you bypass to get where you're going. I know there's some people out there that can do that and try to do it, but hell, you know my line, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. Ain't no fun. And that's where we are right now. This country, even though some good things have happened for President Biden, but what overshadows his work? What's overshadowing prices going down at the gas pump? What overshadows the fact that school is about to start for children? What overshadows the fact that hopefully from Uvalde, most recent school shooting, that our prospective independent school districts, especially here in Texas, will have a plan together to disarm anyone that comes to that school trying to hurt those children? That's what we need to be focusing on. But you got the DOJ saying they go, you know, most of the unsealed search warrants. You got the government fighting the government, Harold. Is this another Ali Frazier? Tyson Holyfield?
No, it ain't nothing like that, man. This is just a debacle that is going to end up, not even end up, it already is, making not just both parties look incompetent or just for bickering with each other, but it's the spotlight, world spotlight on America, these U.S. of these United States. And so, you know, it's kind of hard to make light of it if you really want to have my honest opinion. It's hard to make light of it because how many, you talking about the niece, how many people tried to warn this country about our former so-called leader before he was even put in office. If you really pay attention, he tried to even warn you. He didn't even think he was going to get it at first.
Well,
until all that money got to come in, you know, and you know how it's
$3.9 million. That's a very good thought. And when you say you can shoot or slap or kill somebody in New York City and get away with murder.
And they still vote for him. You're right.
Wow.
You dead on, Andrew. That's one of the quotes that I had in mind. He didn't. And people acting like, oh, he just slid into office and then acted like that. No, he did not. No, he didn't. They even uncovered an old videotape even before he really had political aspirations. And they asked him, you know, since he donated money to both sides of the table, like he's known for doing, playing both sides of the fence, if he was to choose to run, would he choose which one would he choose, Democrat or Republican? He even said Republicans because they're dumber or something like that. I forget his exact term, but it was something to that effect. So, I mean, all of this was uncovered before he was elected. You see what I'm getting at, Andrew? So he even warned us, them, because I knew. So it's crazy, man. It's actually embarrassing rather than crazy if you really want to know the truth. It's embarrassing.
Well, look, I'm going to piggyback, Harold, I'm going to piggyback on you, what you just said. I'm going to interpret it a little bit more. When we peel back an orange, what we expect to see? Orange.
Yeah.
We knew we was getting the grapefruit when we looked at the apple. See, I'm just throwing it out there. And sometimes everything appears to be one way, maybe another way. However, in this case, he called it. He told you what he was going to do. He wanted to be like his partner over in Russia, be in charge for life.
Think about it. Think about it like this. In modern times, no commander-in-chief has kept and controlled his own business and money. And that was done very intelligently, in my opinion, to not give the appearance he is benefiting personally from some of the decisions that are to be made from the Oval Office. So right off the bat, what did he tell us? I can do it. There's no laws against it.
Right. And I'm going to set the table.
So he didn't back
look, Harold, hold on. Look, as well, let me add on this. Not only that, he's also setting the table by putting all these federal judges in place.
He's
not as mentally challenged as we think he is. Now, not only mentally challenged, there's a plan. It might not be the best plan, but it's his plan. Let me turn some seats around these federal judges, because now the pressure, if it gets to that point, who is gonna go against him? See, we forgot about that. When you go and you give all these federal judges, then you get the young lady, the Supreme Court justice, that came in when he was supposed to wait before he did this and that. It went in and put her in quite quickly. And then we woke up Uncle Remus. Woke him up. Now he talking. He's talking so much, it reminds me of my grandmother. She always, can you take the batteries out of it? Maybe he'll stop talking. Take the batteries out.
Find the on and off switch or something.
Put it in water. See if the batteries rust. Something. I told
That's funny.
It is an assault on the American democracy. You talk about taxes and different things the government have their hand in. I mean, you could just see it dissolve. And people are so pissed off at the kid that lives in Wiley, Texas, that turned his daddy in.
I wouldn't.
How many kids go to sleep knowing secrets about their parents? How illegal or how disruptive they can be. NRA loving it because people still buying guns. A few states have increased the age to 21. But the AR is selling like hotcakes. That's why it's going to be a meat shortage. Because if all these people buying these ARs to go hunting, there won't be no deer in the market. Look, ain't no deer in the market. I mean, they might start shooting cows. The hog don't stand a chance. Poor chicken. You talking about
boy,
chicken
they don't
is good?
Chicken.
Right. It's going to be real light. All we're going to have left is feathers. And they blowing up everything, which is very unfortunate for the American people. Now, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, the economy, you know, when you have a recession, you got to go down and go up. Gas prices coming down. We ain't hear about that. Tucker Carlson, I do tune in every now and then just to listen, get a different perspective. And boy, is it different. You know, it used to be held as the glass half full or half empty. But now you got to ask, is it in the glass? Is it water? And if you put that in a box, it's going to end up at somebody's house. They're going to shred it before they get raided. And I'm working on a song when I get back in a couple of weeks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know how Erykah Badu said, call Tyrone? Mm-hmm. You better call Rudy Giuliani. You got to call somebody. We're going to fix it up for you. Call him. And tell him to come on and help you get out your stuff. But it's going to get worse before it gets better. Right now, last week, they told him, do not announce that you're running for president. Because if you do, then the money's raised is going to go to you, and we're going to stop paying your bills. You know how that feel, Harold? When your parents told you they were going to stop paying your bills, that hurt. Well, when your party say they're going to stop, I guess it hurts. Or if it don't hurt him, sting him enough where he can get another angle. But as Americans, we should be pissed. I know everybody's not pissed, but we should be pissed. We've never in the history of our country had an outgoing president get more headlines than our 46th president of these United States. Nixon went away out of shame, but he faced.
Mm-hmm.
Ford fell down. Time, but he faded.
Mm.
Carter with the Afghanistan. We know when he pulled them away from Russia in the early 80s, it was all about the poppy plant. We ain't crazy. What else going on in Afghanistan? You think I'm going over there for orange juice? They went over there for the poppy seed. That's still what all these fights in the Middle East is about, control, because that makes the market go. So we're in a pickle right now. The victims of this pickle that we're in are the American people. The world is watching. The world is laughing. You take top secret documents to your house? You know you couldn't step up hell if you go, nah, boss man, we can't do that. Ain't going to happen, partner. Ain't going to happen. It's about, Lord, the day going by so fast. 30 minutes after the hour, welcome to World 40. This is Andrew Wiggum live from Studio 8. along with Harold Horatio Hubbard Jr., the Prime Minister Oak Cliff. They had a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Now they got a Fresh Prince as well from Oak Cliff. Have you seen Carlton this morning? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got caught up in the script this morning. But, folks, we want to hear what you have to say about what's going on in this country right now, or really anything. All you got to do is press 1. We get you on and see what's going on. I see we have some diverse callers this morning. Come on. Join the excitement. We want this to be a platform where you can get out and say what you need to say, because we need you. We need you. Wouldn't be no me without you. So, Harold, what else is going on?
Man, these kids getting ready for school. Mama's getting ready to throw their hands in the air and holler. Somebody else got to tend to some homework. All that good stuff. Did I miss anything?
Let me make it laugh. You know, I'm glad we're moving away from that computer era when we had the COVID. Now the kids are going in school. Some may still do some telework, as we call it in the hospital system, telework, or do some online learning. But folks, please make sure if you got, and there is that word God. I got to get away from God, but I got to cut it like this. If you got or have your computer in your bedroom and it's facing your closet or your bathroom, please turn it the other way. If you go online, a little kid named Davion. Davion talking to the teacher, his mama butterball naked in the back. Turn it off! I think his name was Davion. See, it was a new era for us. The president now is giving everybody a little internet, a reduced amount of internet, because that's how you conduct a lot of business. But times have changed as far as education. We have to accept it. You know, there was a time, Harold, we had to go to the library to get research. You take these kids down, they don't even know what a card catalog is. They didn't know the 900s were biography, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a while. But you spent time in the library with the librarian. I think I had all ladies. I remember one school had one, a guy, but I didn't attend that school. But they read stories. You know, they helped develop your mind. Made sure that if you had an interest, you were able to pull up additional information to support your cause. So it's going to be interesting. Kids are now getting shots for COVID. And it's exciting, Harold. I tell you, the only thing I don't like, when you're late getting to work and you got all them schools on, I know we need them to help the kids out, but seems like when you get a clear, here we go. Slow down. Parents don't even get on the grounds. You know how they used to drive everybody to go in the grounds just to stay out of traffic? They dropping the kids off in the street now. Where's the love? Kids on the opposite side walking across traffic with no security guard or crossing guard. Folks, we got to do better. We definitely have to do better. Hell, are you still there with me?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, partner. I'm here with you. I'm moonlighting, shine lighting, and right here with you.
All right. I know you're getting texted up. Tell them to come on and press 1. Let's get them on, see what stir us up a little bit.
Oh man, you actually want to do that with me? No control on the button. Oh, I guess you got your finger on the pulse, huh?
Yeah, just for a minute or two.
Well, you put it out there. Let's see how it goes.
All we ever ask is just respect that it's Sunday. We're trying to get a praise on as well. But you know what, Harry? While they're getting their thoughts together, since you said something, I'm going to support you. I'm your production man, a little slow with it. But we want to wish everyone the very best of this school year because, you know what? I didn't hate school. I loved it. Did you know that was done by W.W. Bushman, their choral department, choir teacher? You got those kids. And that's been going around in Dallas for about 15, 20 years.
The elementary school?
Yes, W.W. Bushman.
Yeah, but they remade it from the local station here that used to play that, right?
Right.
If I'm remembering correctly, they went and visited
right.
school.
Right. But that was to get up before they got them to go to school. But I had a friend who was the principal at that school when they made that particular song.
Mm-hmm.
So the former staff of W.W. Bushman, because now they're getting rid of the school. For some reason,
really?
The numbers are down on the left side of Oak Cliff.
No, it's just that you have to understand, man, there was just so many schools that popped up trying to, you know, get a hold of those feeders that were on the border. And Bushman just so happened to be on the border of a lot of little, you know, like even the middle schools. And then don't even think about the high schools. And it was just kind of caught in a little Bermuda Triangle, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of our schools went down like that, you know, the elementary schools, especially, you know, when they started building up the charter programs and stuff, you know, you're
right.
Losing fun, all that
losing
other stuff.
Losing fun, and kids.
Well, of course, kids, you know, been doing that for years, but you know how that goes. You follow the money. You'll get to the root of the issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's throw this out here for everybody listening. The question for the day, are chartering schools ruining public schools?
Oh, ruining is a kind of harsh word.
Okay, how about it's destroying or decreasing the value of public school?
I would buy into that, but I would say more of a distraction because it allows for the money to get even further blurred by people that are making decisions whose children already are in private school. Does that make sense? My view, I'm looking at it.
Yeah, that's a great
former national education lady that 45 had. You know, she could care less about breaking it down, which she did immediately, you know, to try to further do it, public institutions, you know, because
It doesn't affect them.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't, never did, never will. It's all
right.
About the money. So I definitely would say, like I said, destroying is just a hard word, but we all know what it is. It's the same. Mm-hmm. A distraction can blur the funds. Yeah.
Well, but you know, most of your charter schools are privately owned. They're privately
what?
Owned. They have board of directors.
Did you say most of the private schools are privately owned?
Uh-huh. Charter schools. Let's clear that up. Well, the diocese, which would be an independent force, some of these Catholic schools and other parochial schools. But when it comes to charter,
at bare minimum, hey, check this new twist out, Andrew. At bare minimum, they're controlled by LLC. Let's put it like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Yeah.
But the doors are open. Let me tell you what's going on. This is my view. We start a charter school. Let's say charter school A is pulling from every school within a 12-mile radius. Public school there is pulling from them. The state is paying them per student. And they get their money by October when they get their attendance records. And guess what happens if that kid does not work out and they decide that he or she is not a great fit for their program? So where does this kid go now?
I bet you the money don't go back, but the kid going back.
Bingo. So now your public schools are taking care of this child where that pie, they're the same size, but the slices are getting thinner, not as wide. Where it would take five bites.
Hey, Andrew.
Just one. Yes.
Have I ever shared the analogy of the pie in my dad's home when he was growing up?
Please do.
My dad had told me, now they came from a pretty big family, man, but like I say, could nobody survive and make their children think they were any kind of way less fortunate because they made the best of what they had other than us. You know, we've always said that. But my dad used to say he didn't think a pie was supposed to be cut but twice. You know, one in the middle, then, you know, basically the leaving and in fourth, because he said no matter how many children they had, we all knew he was going to get a slice of pie. She just had to make them, you know, make a bunch of them. So it just came to mind when you start talking about the slice of the pie getting thinner and thinner and thinner. Well, that's that pie, that money. It's getting so thin. It's like more water in the Kool-Aid, but don't add enough sugar. You know what I'm saying? That's what they do.
And that's all.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so you do remember some of those terms of endearment.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to stretch it.
And if you had some grape and it was at the bottom, don't be surprised if it had that little funny, murky look. They put some red in the purple Kool-Aid. So,
oh man, we got to where we start blending them, Andrew. Why you getting on this air and trying to act all uppity, man? You know y'all blended some packs of Kool-Aid together, man.
What you talking about, Willis? What you talking about?
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, we've got to adapt. And this is a true confession. My parents were all about teas and juices. I didn't like water, but we had to drink it. Didn't drink. Why drink it when you had all the teas and juices? But I had some neighbors, and I love them to death. They had 7 kids. You know where I'm going with this one. 7 kids. And I used to go down there every day.
Man, I would go there. But I wasn't getting ready to go there and ask the gender of the 7 or nothing until you started talking about you went down. Let me be quiet.
Well, three boys were born, then they had a sister, and then 3 under her. She was in the middle, 3 boys older and 3 boys younger. But I tell you, when I went down, When I got back home, I couldn't, for some reason, I couldn't sit down much. I'm just always going, boy, what's going on? Nothing, Mom. Mama, you need me to cut the yard? Mom, you need me to go pick some oranges out of the tree and get a mango? Mom, what you need? It was a Kool-Aid high. You hear me? That was the best time of my life. Because I told my parents all about teas and juices. It was, because, I mean, we had all the oranges you could think of. I even love grapefruit juice. Shred up mangoes, whatever you had. But the thing was, I had the best time. Three doors down, Harold. Three.
I'm not commenting, Andrew. I'm really not. I'm not going to go there with you this morning. I'm just not going to do it. You're trying to pull me in, and I'm holding on to the bank. I got my hands on the bank of the pool, and you're trying to pull me to the deep water.
I tried to pull you in.
You remember that kid that couldn't swim as strong as the other one, and he had his hands on the bank, and everybody was trying to pull him on over there to the water where he couldn't stand up. That's what you're doing.
I'm trying to pull you in. I see we had a prime minister out of Atlanta. If they want to, just press one. Let's get you on. But I want to hear what you're saying about our focus on these kids. What do you look forward to? I know I gave another question earlier, but as far as school, what are expectations we should have of our learning institutions for these children? You know, is it a job now where they're just making the money? They know they're going to miss their target. You know, if we had low scores, they evaluate us a little differently now than they did when we were in school. But if you had low scores, you know, those teachers will work with you, get you to come in early or even after school. And not to say that some are not doing it now. There are a few, but they're in the minority. Because now it's a job. It's not a career. It's something to kind of
now where they make them, you know, go to school tutoring, and they actually pay the teachers to do that kind of stuff now, though. So, you know,
is it driving force the funds, or is it driving force making sure our kids are equipped to go in this world?
Well, if they want to keep a job, they have to be, man, you know, you know how it go, Andrew. Overflux of teachers, but, I mean, there's a lot of people competing for these jobs nowadays, though.
Right.
Education.
But I'm trying to serve everybody. We need some conversation about this.
Question for me for Atlanta?
Well, Atlanta, Dallas,
Mississippi, New
Fort
Orleans.
We see it all right here.
Missouri, Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah. Oak Cliff.
Anywhere. Oak Cliff, Texas.
Garland, Texas.
Oh, wait a minute, man. I would be remiss. Man, here I am, was about to miss my chance to let you know that I stopped in on my alma mater. Didn't stay for the whole program because I had some other things on the slate, trying to help some last-minute parents get some school supplies. But, man, that Franklin Delano Roosevelt High School over at 611 Bonneview Road, Dallas, Texas, Andrew, the auditorium looks like you could just put a, I don't know how big a orchestra or opera you could hold with all those acoustics and lighting updates, man. It was amazing. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention Dr. Lou Blackburn, was one of the ones I got to speak to before I left. So I know he was one of the keynote speakers. And Dr. Hinojosa, I mean, you name any current person, but, I mean, they brought back old principals, old students that were students that were alumni in 64 that some went on to have, you know, contribute to DISD through their professional careers. It was a very just thoughtful rededication of the building program over at Roosevelt on yesterday. So I would be remiss if I didn't mention that. A lot of the councilmen that were in and very key in getting that thing done were mentioned. I didn't stick around to see if they were there, all of them, but I have to admit that the Roosevelt grad that I know personally, Mr. Caraway, was mentioned, how intricately he worked forming boards to when they were trying to get the funds. Because, you know, a lot of people like to just look at the final output, but it was a lot of money that had to be put into this thing. It was amazing, man, just to see the culmination of all of that and how they incorporated technology, you know, to make it more like an open campus, I'm sure you probably know a lot of the more intricate details than I do, but I just was about to let that go. You threw me the education bone, and I was about to walk past it for a dish of water or something, wasn't it?
But you know what? I think Dallas Independent School District, you know, they are the talking point for a lot of school districts. We don't want to be like DISD. It's understood. You know, most of your urban school districts have challenges. I mean, that's putting it very mildly. But the thing is that their bonds that people vote for in their prospective areas, the facelift over South Oak Cliff, the facelift, you mentioned that Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the FDR, right there on Bonneville and Morrell. Come on, tell them just in case they need
to. But you know what, Andrew, you said some key right there. You can't just skate over what you just said. I have always been a defender of educators as a whole, being from here and having a family that was very heavily, my mom's a retired educator, my godmother, aunts, uncles. But my surprise is with the things that's going on with South Oak Cliff, Roosevelt, and I'm not going to throw out the name, but I gathered from some people I was talking to yesterday that there's another one that's already in line, is that it was never a doubt how the kind of work that went into it. It's just the money coming south of the Trinity, as our great commissioner would always try to remind people, and people still don't give him credit. Man, I can remember when Commissioner Price was talking about 2020 vision before people were even figuring out what was going to happen with their cell phones when it turned 2000. I mean, let's just have a real moment here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Are you feeling me? You know, people don't give credit. They quick to run out and criticize our people. And when I say our people, I'm talking about our elected officials that are bold enough to run for office, because people don't understand how much courage it takes to even run because, boy, they get ready to dig. You know what I mean?
But your life was
I just wanted to say that. I kind of went on a run there, but I just wanted to say that's just how many levels were uncovered during the dedication thing yesterday. They even went as far back as a lot of our council, but some that aren't even here still with us. So it was very good, man.
But, again, you think about the schools that we mentioned, south of the Trinity. You know, and the Trinity, unfortunately, have kind of run kind of zigzag. You know what I'm saying? So where do we start? Do we say Sunset? Sunset has been a different monster.
Well, see, Andrew, one thing, because I know you're getting ready to go somewhere, but let me tell you this one thing that was brought up right at the opening of the dedication that a lot of people don't know, still to this day, but I knew it when I was going there. Roosevelt was the first school strictly built for segregation in DISD to keep us from going to a lot, you know, branching out from the high school downtown, going out to the different schools. And so that was brought up in the thing. Oh, you know, Andrew, it was, like I say, it was very touching and great. But go ahead, because I know you, now we've talked about it, so I know you knew that history. But, Andrew, a lot of people, even yesterday, was like, it was brand new news to them.
Right. But you know what? I look at Dallas. I've been here long enough to kind of see how things have been put in place. When you look at James Madison, as they call it, the great James Madison High School, used to be Forest Avenue. And if you know the history of Forest Park or Forest Avenue, a lot of people didn't look like us lived over there.
Oh, man. I almost caught myself because I'm not anti-Semitic or anything, but I almost caught myself and said what kind of doctors and all that money that lived over there in them big old houses. So I definitely didn't want to say
Park
that.
Park Row, Atlanta.
Yeah. All them streets.
And South Dallas right now houses the only place in America that I know of where you have an intersection of Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Malcolm X. If you can name one, let me know, because I want to go there. I want to go there.
Have you heard anything else about the mural that was supposed to be built over there? That's one thing I would like to kind of get an update on. I'm already working on it.
There's a mural on the side of where Backus Cleaners used to be.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Facing Malcolm X, but if you're going, I guess that would be east on Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard, you'll see it just as you cross Malcolm X. So there's a nice little mural.
The little organization was going to do something with some street signs. I mean, walkways. It was something like that. Right. Maybe I was just wanting. Yeah, that's yeah. You're right, man. That's a lot of history right there.
A lot of history.
But then you get ready to talk about Forest Avenue and Madison. You know, and wasn't Lincoln right along in there with them, kind of integrated back in there in that same time frame?
Right. But before them, now Lincoln's been around a minute. Before the segregatedness of that country dissolved, you had Booker T. Washington.
Oh, how could I forget? Man, come on, kick me in the head. My mother was a graduate of Booker T. Washington. Yeah, you're right, Andrew. And it was downtown, if I'm not mistaken.
Downtown? Yeah, Crozier Tech. They got everybody right close in that area.
Right.
And right now, I understand the old health magnet and all that. Is that where Plaza of Americas is now? What institutions were there, Harold, with a plaza?
Well, it's not the actual, I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember when Health Professions was in that area, but the original Health Professions that I remember was on Ross.
Right, and when I moved here, it was on
Ross. Going into, going toward Greenville, leaving downtown, going toward down Ross. That's the first Health Professionals that I remember, but I could be mistaken, you know, because, you know, we have some close friends that went there, and I remember that campus being on Ross down there.
Well, you got, you know,
maybe some of them.
But Dallas has really grown. You know, when you go to Frisco, that's a whole nother monster. That's a whole show and a half by Frisco, and how when they get 2,000 students at their school, they build a new school.
Build another one.
That's
one. Figure out how to keep that money and make them powerhouses for them sports, because that's another thing. People talk about how, you know, our community is about sports. People don't realize the kind of money that goes into the sporting facilities for children. It's not by mistake, man. It's not by mistake when you start seeing it.
But not only for the schools. We have different organizations like hockey. We need to bring more hockey down south, some lacrosse. Because, you know, if the brothers really got a hand of lacrosse, they're going to change the game. Speed. You get to bump people. Oh, no. I'm afraid of
it. Ivy League schools got some dark-skinned people playing those sports.
Well,
you know, you'd be surprised.
That's a whole time worth of conversation. We have changed every sport we're part of.
Like you always tell us with that Nestle Quick.
I look at skateboarding. There's a brother out skating better than the what you would think? His white counterparts, he winning. They're congratulating, but they're looking at him like, oh, Lord, we done lost skateboard.
We done took over the motocross. You got those kids ride those bikes and kind of do those same kind of trips with the, that the skateboards do. There was a little kid that was doing that. Now, when I say little kid, I mean, you know, now he's probably a young adult, but he was a teenager that was doing that and came in and take over. Like you always say about the Nestle Quick, though, Andrew, just give us a chance. we'll return us to a lot of things that we have had, you know, before.
The milk quickly. Very quickly.
Sure will.
Yeah, but folks, listen to The World According to Drew Hell. Hubbard's riding shotgun. We're going to let him take care of a little thing or two here very shortly. But we have some callers on. We want you to, come on, let's engage in a good old conversation. All you got to do is press one. We've thrown some things out, the development of Dallas, both on the north side and the south side, the south of the Trinity. We've talked about how schools have received facelifts. It's a little slow because W.T. White and some of the other ones may have received facelifts a while back. Adamson was the first. They won't even touch Sunset. It is a historical landmark, but they need some things in order to keep up with the times. It's hard to rewire some of them old buildings. But it means a lot to that community, and they're not having it. They are not having it. You go down further down in Oak Cliff, Sock got a facelift. Carter has a facelift. Kimball's getting a facelift. And now, hell, remember, everybody used to play sports in the field houses. Now they have competition gyms at their schools. So now you really have a home court advantage if you go to Carter. Kimball owns Sprague now. See how
I never
works?
Understood that home field advantage anyway, you know, because they done shared a parking lot for years.
Right, but it belongs to the district. You think of Forrester.
Yeah. Forrester. You saying it doesn't belong to the district at all now, or what?
Yeah, well, it belongs
to the
district on the building. But it's Kimball's arena.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Skyline was the first to get the competition. So
they've had
Woodrow, no, they still want to showcases to be at Sprague or at Ellis Davis.
I was about to say, because Ellis Davis is actually, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love to meet some Coach Davis because, you know, I kind of grew up under him there in the neighborhood. But that's actually just the name of the basketball arena, if I'm not mistaken. I think Owens, somebody else may even have their name on the football stadium. And that's no problem. I like the way they kind of divvied that up a little bit. But I like the fact that now, like you said, when they said they were having the vaccination long lines, that's what they were saying, the Ellis Davis. But if you listen closely, they always said the Ellis Davis field house, and I believe that's what they call the basketball.
Well, the whole complex is called the Jesse Owens Sports Complex.
Right, that's it. That's what it is. You're right. I knew it was something like that. Yeah.
Cade is the football field. And
yeah,
Ellis Davis.
Help me out, Andrew. I knew you knew some facts about that little old spot right there. Yeah.
But Dallas is growing. I can grow. I'm part of the process. I remember my days of volunteering time going to that health magnet that you talked about over on Ross Avenue. And then when they get to Townview, you know, I would go over there as well. And for those who are listening, let's contribute time or take time and give these kids an opportunity to see what we do. Whether you work for these Fortune 500 companies and you analytically assess your day and other days of other people, give them that hope that if they're good at math, then let's get it. If you're the medical
Hey, Andrew,
field,
speak, you know, speaking of giving back, man, I understand that when
Jennifer Hudson was in town to promote her new upcoming talk show. She went and visited Booker T Performing Arts School, and you know, of course, they surprised the kids, and you know, it was real. I just caught a little bit of it on the news, actually, but it seemed like it was a real neat event. Those children were just so surprised to see her. You know what I mean? It was just a surreal moment for some of them.
Right.
You know.
And you know, you talk about Booker T. You know, I'm very familiar with how Booker T operates. I just wish that we had more of our kids involved in the fine arts.
Yeah, I do too. I know exactly where you're going.
Booker T. Washington. You know, you
but here
say,
those things are available, but I don't think we take advantage of it, Andrew. I mean, even the things that are available at Townview. You know, how accessible, or no, I'm not going to blame it on access because you do have to apply and all this other stuff, but how much knowledge is being just dwindled down to our community, you know?
Right. Well, and then when you have
to apply, it's competitive.
You have these specialty schools. Sometimes I question personally how much of the core. You know, you got the top, the cream of the crop of a lot of the kids. Well, how much of the core emphasis are being placed? I know you might have your special magnet that you're in, A, B, C, D, I'll just call it like that. And are we focusing on the whole child versus their special gifts or special requests as far as education?
You know, I learned up close and personal, but I would have to say yes, because even if you were in the health profession, what do they call it? It's not click. I almost came cluster. You still, man, they had some very great English teachers and even math program. You were required to go and get, you know, some, if that's what you mean by being well-rounded curriculum. Is that, am I understanding you correctly? Like, just if you're there for health, are they only focusing on getting the best in, say, science? So I would have to say, just from my personal experience, because I didn't know either, those were some of the questions that I had before, you know, finding out. And of course, you know, I think that they went and got one of the best band directing decisions they could have ever made, that, you know, and Dr. Dean Hill. But I thought it was a very well-rounded students. I think attention was specifically paid on that. You know, they paid specific attention to detail. Now, that's my personal opinion, of course, because I got to see it up close and personal. And while we're on that, give a shout-out to Dr. Sheila Brown. She was the principal back then.
But you know what, a lot of people have gone through Dallas Independent School districts throughout this country, in Ohio, over west of us, east of us. And you just go and you know, you try to learn because they had a passion. Now it's more of a job, not a career. We see that a lot of people have some layoffs and they get in there and may have the gift and they may be great teachers, but I don't see the passion that we have. We learn more than what book.
I can't really, Andrew, I know where you're coming from, but I can't really sign on to that, man, because I have, I guess you would call it second cousin, because their parents are first cousins of mine, and they're educators, you know, principals and counselors, and I know they're not doing it for the money. You know, I know that they care about their students. So I said that to say, I'm not going to say the whole blanket of the young teacher doesn't care. Now, are they allowed to care the way that our teachers did? No. Are they allowed to, like, just for an example, discipline in the way our teachers were given permission to or not given? No. No. Those things are, unfortunately, those things are a legal issue now, you know? So that can't go without being said. You discipline a child the wrong way. Because if you want me going on, give you a little personal story. My spouse at the time, she's my spouse. She used to be surprised if some of the students weren't going to report her just from language, because she said, you either going to get with them or get run over sometime. And, you know, you think about it. You think about it, Andrew, on a day-to-day basis. They kind of got these teachers on eggshells. You know what I mean? So it's weird. It's a touch-and-go type of thing. Now, are there people who still use teaching as a stepping stone? Like, girl, I'm just teaching until I get through with this. I'm sure there are. But I'm not going to blanket say none of our young teachers don't care. I think maybe their hands are tied. Let's put it that way. Maybe their hands are tied. You know. But I've always told people, anybody that's brave enough to go into a public education venue, and my hat's down to them, man. I think they should pay them as well or better than our officers, police officers. So, because, you know, I got respect for first responders. Never will stop having that. Firemen and police officers. So, yeah. But anyway, you done got me on a little tangent there. I didn't mean to take over that like that.
Oh, no. Because I'm going to give it to you here shortly, partner.
You see? I should have saved my thunder, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, and folks,
you gotta give me.
What we try to do is just stir you up. We need to know what you're thinking as well. We need to have conversation, because this world, so many things happen, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, that we don't talk about it. And we've thrown some things out there today for you about the education. You know, hopefully we got some educators on here that, you know, talk about the passion is still there. You know, it's exception in everything, even in the medical field. You have some that are so passionate about helping people. Then some of them just have a passion about making money, which is very unfortunate. You can't tell. You know, everyone has their own driving force of why they do what they do. But I could think of in my own home, if somebody got sick, bam, mama on the way. All they had to do is call. She asked no questions. Harold, it was one time where I was so afraid during the holidays, because a lot of things happen. And we're in the middle of a Christmas party. My mom would get a call. She had to go. In the neighborhood, she was the Marcus Welby MD, you know, telling the age now. Some of y'all old enough to understand. But, you know, they relied on her. And so those are the things where your neighborhood meant so much to you. Now we don't even speak. We in places now, we may not even know our neighbor's name. Well, if we do, we don't talk to them. We pull the blind. You hear them out there. Well, things are much more diverse now than they were before. I can tell you, everybody in my block growing up, I knew what they drove. I knew what kind of work they were doing.
But nowadays, Andrew, if you think about it, we're too busy thinking if the neighbors know too much of our business, they're going to be too far in it, like Miss Kravitz from Bewitched. And
call it
you
out.
Know, yeah, you know. Yeah. But everybody needs a good nosy neighbor, in my opinion. Shoot, they'll keep an eye on your stuff better than you.
Yeah, but not too nosy.
Right. You get too nosy, you have to put them in their place.
I saw this black sedan pull up yesterday. You know, that's the kind of neighbor you don't want.
Boy,
don't want that particular neighbor.
Really?
So they gonna tell it. Gladys
not a
Kravitz.
Good neighbor. You hear us say not a good neighbor.
Yeah, but you know, Harold, they
ain't gonna tell it.
We miss. I think our kids really miss the sense of neighborhood, and maybe because we've moved so far out, we can go places that we never thought we'd be able to go in. and now we're there. And it's quite interesting when your neighbor, they looking like, okay, they in my neighborhood, what they do? And so I kind of get to look too, like, what they do? They love to walk the dog, and I remember as a kid, we had a sign in the pool. We don't swim in your toilet, so don't pee in our pool. So these people come around and tell them, hey, don't let your dog poop. Don't let them do this. These people still out there pooping with these dogs. You can't stop it. You better believe where mine's go. I let him poop too. So, not good. You got to be better neighbors. Please be better neighbors than that. So, you know, we got quite a few callers, folks. We've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about the 46th president taking boxes home. Where I work, if you take a box, you sure won't get stopped. You won't get stopped right at the door.
You know what? It's funny that you say that. At least if them ladies' purse is too big, they trust. And if it's something out of the ordinary, you know what I mean? Not just on something every day, but say it's somebody that always got a little clutch. Oh, but on her last day of work, she come in there with a bag that need wheels. You think she gonna make it to the parking lot?
I don't think so.
Me neither. I know not. You think some emergency done went down? We'd be like, whoa. Well, you know, y'all had them what they call that wheel that the mall cop used to ride on, that little motorized thing. So they even got some of that. The little VA police got. Oh, I'm sorry, man. Excuse me.
What? Oh, you talking about the veterans affairs all over the country? I got you.
I've
been them a time or two. I do understand that.
But you know that little scooter that the mall cop rode on, huh? What is it called, Andrew?
Because
people even go on tours downtown. You can get little tour guides to take you around by the big park downtown. But anyway, they got them. Boy, they'll roll up on you so quick in there.
They'll
roll up on you.
But, folks, I'm going to turn this thing over to Mr. Harrell. I see that the Hall of Famer is in our midst.
Oh, well, that's enough right there.
Congratulations again to Cheryl Smith. All the hard work and dedication that she has put into the realm of journalism. Training minds. I mean, I bet you if you took account of all the people that she's helped or been able to assist. That's all-star. And she loved Allen Iverson. So, yeah, she got some Allen Iversons in the group. You know, we got the hair all braided up doing their thing. But, again, they let me light shine. We're just so happy to have her with us. And hopefully, let me see if somebody. Okay, but still, if we can get Cheryl on with you a little bit, and I'm going to jump back with you. Got some things to do, some changes that came about this morning, so I have to adjust accordingly. So, Cheryl, just press, you know what to do, press. We can get you to come on in and maybe give us your spiel about what happened in Mar-a-Lago or DISD stepping it up, taking Roosevelt to a different level. Schools opening. It's on you. So go ahead, Harold.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring Cheryl up. I'll jump back. I'll jump back in.
Okay.
So, I want you to press. I just want to give it to you.
She may not be ready, but I was just going to say also, maybe since she's had a chance to kind of take it all in, maybe she could share a little bit more with us about her Hall of Fame honor. You know,
Yellow jacket like they do the Hall of Fame football. But she's a baseball.
We'll do something special. We'll do something special. Exactly. We'll do something real special.
Let's get you. Hopefully, you're able to talk a little bit this morning. I need to get a few things. I get a good text. I hear that text. So, yeah, she like me. I'm trying to get where you are, Cheryl, this morning.
Hey,
one of my
texters said the machine I was stunk up on was the Segway, man, and I didn't mean to interrupt you a while ago. I just happened to look down. You know how you say, dang, that was it. I couldn't get it out. It was a Segway with the little two wheels the mall cop used to ride around on when they had to move the mall cop. Segway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe they can come on and co-host with me since they're helping me out with these answers, texting me, huh, Andrew? What you think?
Yeah. When they come on, is that my 817?
Now, hey, man.
Is that my 817?
I don't know.
817, we need you to come on and join on a little bit. Press 1 for me so I know you're down with the plan.
They kind of shy.
Yeah, but that thing ain't
public.
Shy.
They're not shy. They say they're not good at public speaking, just like kind of like me. You know, I ain't good at public speaking.
Be yourself. You know what? We all got other jobs where we try to do the best that we can. We just need some opinions out here. We got some great folks. I see friends from Ohio. Thank you for giving me the up and up on maybe what to do in Cleveland, Ohio. Cheryl got back from a late flight. Harold, if you go ahead and do a little bit, I'll join you right by the close. But I got the scoop.
So you want me to sing?
No. I'm going to put some music on for you. Get your thoughts together because you love school.
We
I know you love school.
Yeah, it would be nice, though, if I had someone to just, you know, not get caught up in my mind with my thoughts, because y'all know I can get kind of emotional, especially when it hits close to home. Like the whole education piece to me is something I wish we could get someone to come on and just kind of share their thoughts, even if they're not in the education field, just kind of share how they feel about how the responsibilities are shifting from the parents, not necessarily all, but from the parents to the actual teachers in our schools nowadays. And when I say that, I do know that a lot of people are quick to say it's their jobs to educate. That's someone that has never known anybody that taught or doesn't have anybody in their family that's not affiliated with it, because there's so much more to educating our children than covering the coursework. You know, these teachers, I mean, like you hear me, Andrew, and you know, Andrew and I, we mention it all the time. Our educators, I can't even remember what specific courses some of my most memorable educators even taught. It's the way they touched our lives. It was the way, if you saw them walking down the hall, you knew you had to act, you had some good sense. It's the teacher that told you, boy, get that rake out your hair. Stop chasing that girl trying to pull her hair, you know. And so the educators, their piece is just so much deeper than just the coursework that they're assigned to do. So I just have great respect for our educators. Now I pray for them, to be honest with you, nowadays more so than ever, because of the many challenges that they have. So Andrew, I know you're going to be listening, but if Miss Cheryl gets ready, I hope you still have the ability to bring her in, because I know she wouldn't push me out on an island just to get any kind of, you know, she doesn't get any joy in seeing me dog pedaling by myself. But hopefully once you get your transportation thing settled, and you'll be able to chime in with us as well. So
yeah, well, I'm right here with you. I'm listening. And yeah, I got to do it. I'm going to go back and see if anybody pressed 1 yet.
So
817 been on a minute, 972s. Join Harold. I'll be back shortly as well. as we do things 26 minutes after the hour. Again, for those who are listening, welcome to World Gordon Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum live from Studio A, getting ready to hit mobile Studio A this morning as I embark on some great things this morning. A few things changed up, and Harold's going to lead on. Harold, I'll still be with you. I'll cut in from time to time, but keep doing what you're doing, brother. Appreciate you.
All right. I should have said, now I could brag on my high school some more. I learned a few things by talking to some of my older alumni even before the program started. You know, of course, me being the young student that I was, I thought that just a couple of friends that I knew that went on to different levels in sports and education were the first. And I was able to meet some, just to give an update, I knew my great boss lady wouldn't leave me out here like this. She's having some technical difficulties trying to get the website going as well. So I'm just knowing that I got her trying to come in gives me more confidence. But, yeah, I was able to see, I learned so many things that some of my classmates even, when I say classmates, I mean within like a 10-year span of when I graduated, that have gone on to be teachers and principals and coaches. Even though it wasn't my first time learning it, one of our players that was actually a professional athlete has come back and is the head coach over at Roosevelt now, Aaron Wallace. I think he's like a 1985 grad of Roosevelt. And not to mention the effect that some of my classmates and alums have had on just the local Dallas political arena. You know, we've got some people that even before we started having black chiefs that were at some very notable positions within both the sheriff's department and the Dallas Police Department, Dallas Fire Department as well. I saw a friend of mine that was a retired captain from the Dallas Fire Department. And I don't know how she would feel about this, but our current sheriff is a Roosevelt alum as well. So it was a very proud moment, I have to admit. And I can't really compare it to the pride that was shown by South Oak Cliff when they won their state championship. But I will say that people were very proud of the city to see South Oak Cliff do that for DISD, because it, you know, a lot of people get caught up in, you know, it was just South Oak Cliff and blah, 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 blah. But that was a monumental moment for DISD. And I will say that yesterday showed me that DISD was standing behind Roosevelt with this not just the rededication, the actual redoing and the revamping of the school, bringing more technology into the school. Because like I said earlier, you would think you were in an amphitheater if you sat in the auditorium where I can remember, I'm getting chills on my arms now, I can remember being in there for pep rallies. And even when I was acting right and Dr. Ross would let me play with the band a little bit, you know, because I had a habit of getting a little, as I got older in high school, thought I was so cool that I could be in the band, play a little sports and do whatever I wanted. And our band directors back then didn't play that. If you wasn't dedicated and missed some practices, you sure wasn't going to get to have no fun at the pep rally. But anyway, so yeah, the auditorium that I used to do pep rallies and little talent shows in, and it doesn't even look like it's the same size, guys. I mean, it's just because of the acoustics and the lighting and the professional sound put into this. I can just see, even though, you know, we have our performing arts magnet in DISD, a lot of people don't know this, but every school is going to still have your drama that's going to be wanting to put on plays or
or talent shows even, where you're going to have people singing or perhaps playing instruments. All of that is taken into effect with the design and comforts that they put into our, just the auditorium. And we haven't even left the auditorium. The everything is state of the art. You know, the security is state of the art. It ain't too many ways to get access to the main core of the building, all because of some of the innovative security that they've updated and incorporated into the building. But I believe that it's very important for us not to lose track of the fact that even though the dynamics of some of our inner city schools are changing, and that's the nicest way I can put that, there are a lot of grandparents that are raising children that are attending these schools. And I believe by the upgrading and putting the money into the technology and showing more attention, that you won't be able to say, I need to send my child to XYZ district to get the quality of education that I want them to have. So I took a little pride in that upon yesterday. And the cooperation of the alumni associations was nice to see, because there's usually always so much competition between years and stuff like that. But I will admit, I'm at the age now where we need to just start having a, if you graduated in this decade, you know, a group of decades now at this point in my life, you can come and let's us all get together and have some reunion activities from time to time. But I can remember some Texas folks in my family, they never had a year for their reunion. It's like, say if it was Clark High, which I do remember was one of theirs, they just had the Clark High reunion every summer. You didn't have to, you know, you very rarely would people travel. That was a way of coming back and reconnecting. So Andrew's probably in the back of his limo having some mimosas and playing like he driving a skateboard to the airport. So y'all going to have to join in with, because anybody that listens to this show, you know, any kind of regularity, knows that he likes to remind people of how different people grew up. But yet and still, you know, he in the limo, and we all know that he didn't grow up on the rough side of the mountain when you got a county named after you. But anyway, might as well take my jabs at him while he's trying to just can only listen, huh? But anyway, Miss Smith, I will say I wish I knew more of the details that I could share with our listeners about your trip, because I was just so excited because, you know, he told me about it after it was already done, and that's been no fault of his. It's a little bit of my disconnection as well, so I'm not going to try to put no blame on nobody with that. That's neither here nor there. But we're very proud of you, and I thought it was very touching that some of our listeners who know you other than our show was texting both Andrew and I when he let it out on the air last week before you joined us, because, you know, we knew, well, at least Andrew knew ahead of time, and he let me know that you were traveling, so we were trying to get you in. But they were texting like, oh, I wish you would come on and just share, set up so we can let her know and share her, let her know how much we love her and how much we respect her and always have and how deserving she is. So it kind of made me feel good to say, hey, you know what? If I would act right, I could have an appointment with Miss Cheryl Smith on a regular basis. But you're pretty bad when you take inside jokes at your own personal issues, I guess. But anyway, Miss Smith is just, I thought it was a very telling and very deserving show that people who do a lot of the work and are always in the background making sure that things get to the people in need, it's got to be kind of gratifying to some degree. I can only imagine to see that it's not going without being, it's not going unnoticed. And that's what kind of feeling I got. And
anybody that's not already plugged into iMessenger, this would be a great time if you wanted to. Everything is on all media platforms. You can go to the daily newsletter, and there's also even video on there, iMessenger.com, Texas Metro News, any of her streams of her mediums. But you have to understand that this lady has such a tireless effort, even though I have met some of her staff, and I know that she has a great staff. Cheryl is a very good leader. She's not going to just macro-manage, but a lot of the effort that goes into coordinating the work is tiresome. So I can understand if she doesn't quite want to go through another travel weekend today and join us. So she has her plate full. I think that's kind of an understatement in describing what she does. But her plate is full. But that's why her cup of blessings are overflowing by the lives that she's touched. And I know for one, the scholarship that she allows for the students in journalism at different higher learning institutions. I know a lot of her internships, positions that she makes available. I mean, until I became, I think I'm still need to have a lot of more maturing to do as an adult, but until I got in my later years in life, I didn't realize that when a company offers up an internship, I always took it as, because I was always in the other end, I always took it as, they just want some free labor. But it's really not there. There's a lot of work that goes into allowing to basically mentor a young individual. And so that's another tireless effort of hers that goes unnoticed. Yeah, and like I said, we could understand traveling. Anybody that's traveled through time zones can relate with how even just tiring it is if you wasn't at an event where you had demands on your body and your voice and making speeches. So we're not going to put too much pressure on our leader to come on and talk. It's just that I kind of felt like I was on an island here, and just knowing that she's back in town or back connected with us helps me a lot. So
it's all right to feel like Gilligan. I got you.
Now Gilligan had it going on in hindsight, man. A lot of people were discounting Gilligan as the this goofy little guy, but you think about it, man, he didn't have no responsibilities. Didn't nobody expect him to save him. Then he could act like he liked Mary Ann for a little bit. He could dream about, what was her name? Gina. What was the other one's name? No, it wasn't Gina. It was Ginger.
Ginger.
Look, boy, you on it. You on it, huh?
Yeah, but did he didn't ever think about Miss Owl. So yeah, he was.
Well,
good.
I was trying to keep in mind that it was Sunday morning. I was about to say if he had any good sense, he'd have been trying to holler at her, see if he could be her pool boy if they ever got rescued. But you know what thing, Andrew, thinking just real quick about Gilligan's Island, the show. The Howells didn't seem like they was on no stranded island. You see how they had all the luxuries? I mean, they was drinking out of coconuts with umbrellas, it seemed like, almost, you know? So they
well,
kind of still had it going on.
They
yeah.
Now, what I can't figure out, they say they were supposed to be on a three-island tour. How did they get three-hour tour. But they had luggage. Skipper had red shirt on. He looked and had the same. But Professor Marianne, they changed a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was just a 3-hour tour.
Yeah, they had butlers, it seemed like, you know, or something.
Yeah.
they had clothes.
You know what I'm saying? They were playing with us with that line.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what, Harold? It's just in life. I you look at those stories that we can reflect upon. They had some relevance in our lives that you never give up because they never gave up. They kept going even with the obstacles that they had on the island. And we have obstacles in our life as well. But you have to keep going. And, you know, one day we will get rescued by whoever it may be that's there for us. And that not only being rescued, be able to do things, pass that legacy on to your children. I mean, it's funny how the cycle works. And I thank my parents forever and ever for just giving us the opportunity, exposure to things. And I know a lot of these parents, y'all give your kids some excellent exposure on things and continue to do it. Have dialogue with them because you never know what they're thinking. And their exposure is much more, Harold, than what we could even imagine. We had to go to the library to find everything. They got it right there in the palm of their hand. So it's a lot going on, and we just need it. I know we get beat up this morning, but that's how it is. Tell them about the gun line, boss. Oh, no, wrong story. Wrong story. I'm enjoying it.
Andrew, this might not be a good time for you to remind us how you living your best life. You know, you're on your way to vacation, you know, in the middle of the...
Not a vacation today.
No.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
You know, it's not a vacation. It's work. It's work. Like I'm looking at now, I am busting my butt. I got 2 hours to get where I need to be. I will be there. But then they change up on you. If we didn't have
right.
any phones, we'll be lost. We will be lost. Because now you get alerts and updates, and it's like, oh, man, for real? But, you know, I am blessed, you know, to have my family, my friends, my radio family, and as well. And I just try to do what I can, man. I've never thought I was any different than anyone else. You know, I worked hard, didn't have all the great skills, but what they instilled in me that we need to instill in our kids is our mind. If you take time to take care of what's between your ears, that will carry you much further than you've even imagined. Yeah, I could throw a football 50 yards. I can run fast with everybody. I can shoot baseball. I can hit, pitch, everything. But see, it wasn't in my cards to do that. You know, I was able to do some things that I wanted to do or the way the Lord led me to do. But that's what we have to find in our niche. Everybody can't be LeBron James. We understand that. Even Bron having a tough time being like his dad. He good now. He real good. But those are the things that we try to instill in our kids to just make a difference in your own life. Don't get caught up with your hand in the cooking job. If you're going to get caught in the cooking job, buy the cooking job, and then nobody even worry about it. So those are lessons learned. Your kids are going back to school. Some of you adults are going to further your education. I have one friend that listens very faithfully every week. Maybe she might go for a second doctorate. I mean, she is what I call a solid assassin. She doesn't say much, but she get it done. And believe it or not, I've never told her this, but she's my inspiration to go on and do more and more because she has her own little way of doing it. And that's what I love about her work ethic, and it goes a long way. So, Harold, I had my little hot moment. I need you to carry it a little bit. Let me make a few phone calls. I catch you. It's about 15 minutes to the top of the hour. And give me a little bit about Roosevelt. you talked about Aaron Wallace, Roosevelt great that went on and played professional football is now giving things back to his alma mater. You said Roosevelt, you gave me some good information. Roosevelt was one of the schools that was built really hard to keep us where we were.
It was the first. It was the first, yes, to keep it segregated.
And,
yes, sir.
Right. And we didn't realize that the architecture, they thought, well, if we're giving this property, what they going to do? Whoever came up with that concept for the architecture at that place was absolutely on target. Folks, if you get a chance to go on, I think Harold said 611 Bonneview, is that it?
It's something like that. I can look it up, but yeah, it's right there. It's right. It might even be, but it's right off Morrell and Bonneville, like you said.
Right.
Right behind the, not right behind, near the Corinth transit station.
Right there, the train, near the train transit spot on the red and blue line. So if you're not sure, just get a blue train, take it to the end. But again,
525 Bonneview, if anybody wants to go by it, is 525.
They gave a property, backed up property, Miracle in the Hill. But it is literally in a hill. You can enter from, what, three different levels at that particular school.
It's carved through a flood zone. Actually, it may not be now, but from the way I was told or taught, that they carved it in a manner through basically a flood zone off of a feeder from the Trinity. Parts of the city would flood when the Trinity, you know, would overcrest. It kind of wiggled its way through there. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. And tell them what the nickname was. What was the nickname for the area?
The Bottom.
The Bottom. Right at the bottom of a levee. Folks, I'm telling you now, we've come a long way.
Bottom. Yes.
We've come a long way. But
Andrew, I'm glad you mentioned that, man. I was able to pull up some facts about the school if you want me to share them while you go through
Hold on, I'm going to let you ride out. Look, Harold, they gave us the bottom thing. They'll flood out. They wouldn't go to school. They'll do this. They'll do that. But again, here, the Lord works in mysterious ways. You go in the bottom. You educate all these minds that are great contributors to Dallas Independent School District, from which I don't know folks from which they came or come, either one, let me make sure, from where they started. And by that, they give them back to the neighborhood. The complexion has changed considerably. But they're all about the focus of making Roosevelt great. The basketball team did extremely well. They lost in the playoffs last year. And, I mean, it's just good to see Roosevelt, Sock win it all, Carter, Madison, Lincoln, Kimball. I called out all the schools, our schools, south of the Trinity River. I was about to say the Mississippi River. Trinity River, south of it, that they don't care about. People don't, the focus in right now is in Bishop Arts, and they're spreading, and they're going to try to overwhelm all the areas of Oak Cliff. I see it coming. And it's no shock that all these warehouses are on I-20. They move in commerce. They put I-20 so the trucks wouldn't have to go through the neighborhood. But they just don't know. You got DeSoto's, Cedar Hill, Duncanville, Lancaster, you got it. And we're taking over down there. And people are taking advantage of the tax break that these companies are the influx of money that's coming through that neighborhood. You know, your joke and your punishment ends up to be a great thing for some of the folks that live down in the southern sector. It wasn't supposed to happen like that, though.
I laugh when
I go to the park in the 80s. You see one or two blacks. You go to Kimball, same thing. But Roosevelt been steady, but Roosevelt is changing the other way now a little bit. But it's still a lot of families have moved out. A lot of families, when their parents pass, they sell in the house. They don't know how rich that ground is that where they live. But they want to sell and get an instant buck. Well, that buck don't last forever. So, Harold, go ahead. Give us some facts. You on it.
Well, one, I'll tell you before I even get to reading it, I see that their student body is, I mean, I done lost my track. I was listening to you now. Yeah, their student body is 607 students in the 9th through 12. And just to give you an idea how things have changed, most of the times, I don't know if it, well, I'm pretty sure it's still the same. Most of the time, your pupils decrease as you go on from the 9th grade to the 12th grade. But just to give you an idea, when I graduated in the 80s, there was 406 or 408 people just in my senior class. And so now to see that the entire student body is 690 students from the 9th to the 12th, that should give you pretty good idea of how the dynamics have changed. But let me show you how DISD even flipped that little fact. They said that increases their student-teacher ratio is only 14 to 1. So that's one of those things that people look at. I don't know about if they use it here locally, but I know when people are moving from different cities and different states, that's one of the factors that parents look at. They want to know the size of the classroom, so they use that teacher to a student to teacher ratio. But here's a few facts. They kind of keep it broad, but they say that they're letting it be known that the school was open in 1963, and just from personal knowledge, as Andrew and I have been speaking about, it was open strictly to keep the American Negro from going to the, what do we call them when we talk about the colleges, Andrew? The PWIs, the predominantly white institution. So it is a lot of pride in that school that should be taken from all of that. But
and it would be
interesting
how, if they put Roosevelt up, were they trying to keep us from going to Adamson, which is not too far
Sunset.
Away?
And Sunset. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And 63
yes,
was the bond or whatever they got started growing, where you had Carter, all those were started to come up, but it were not our schools. Kimball was
right.
Not our school. If you go look
no.
at those pictures.
Hey, along those lines, Andrew, I can remember, you know, because before we moved to where we, you know, where my older childhood's home was, we actually were in Singing Hills. And I can remember my friends' older brothers and sisters being bused to Carter. I mean, when it started. So that should let you know how, you know, it wasn't our school. You know, now you probably can't find somebody in there that ain't us. But a lot of that started you know.
Yeah, we, you know, the culture has changed. You know, it's 20 African-Americans there. But they have a nice melting pot of kids
right.
that are there. You also, you know, you look at Woodrow Wilson. Some of those schools, they wanted to keep the way they are. And it's no secret. It's no secret whatsoever how things are transpiring in Dallas Independent School District or in the world itself or how things are.
Are we learning from our past education? I'm going to read some of those.
Look,
let me read your
some notable alumni.
Wow.
Sorry?
Go ahead.
Let me read some notable alumni just out since I was able to finally find that. That's what I was looking at. I think it's quite apropos that the first one I pull up on the top is Dr. Lou Blackburn himself, class of 1974, a trustee of the Dallas ISD School Board. Wayman Bryant, who was an American football linebacker. I know we were talking about that yesterday. They had a picture of him in his Chicago Bulls uniform, and everybody thought it was Mike Singletary because he had his number on. Well, I guess it's vice versa. Singletary had his number. But anyway, then have a person that I know personally, Jeff Fuller, class of 1980, a proud Texas A&M grad. He was a football safety who played for the San Francisco 49ers, played in two Super Bowls with them. And then, of course, who could go without knowing Roy Martin, better affectionately known as Robot, class of 1985. U.S. high school record holder still to this day, Olympian as well. Then we have, I mentioned our coach, Aaron Wallace, played professionally. I know he played for the Raiders. Richmond Webb played for the Miami
and
Dolphins.
Richmond is in the Hall of Fame in Miami.
Say it again.
Richmond is in the Ring of Honor. And at Miami.
Wow. I didn't even know that. But I knew he was an all-pro, all-pro and a pro bowler, and he blocked for Dan Marino. So I'm sure Dan was happy. We had Kevin Williams. A lot of people forget he played for the Cowboys. He was right around the area of 1989. They got a question mark on that because I believe it was actually like, because some people were talking about that yesterday. I believe he was more like a 87, 88. But anyway, it's right around 1889.
Right, but he played first in Miami. But Harold, as we get closer to the end of the hour, we're going to continue to get people to listening, and we hope that you see us next week. We're getting real close to the end, Harold. I can close it out for us. But I appreciate you looking out for me. I have changed dates 3 times since I've been out here. 3 times. So, folks, wherever you are, whatever you do, we thank you for just being yourself. And, you know, my famous line, you know, we always, always going to have a one-time God, and I'm trying to, I'm working this thing out, but it is what
and
it
we
is.
Will be back next week.
All right. Thank you so much, Harold. Thank you, everybody. See you next week. I'm out. Peace.